Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's 8:32. It's Thursday, and it is going to be a beautiful weekend. In case you're just tuning in and you haven't heard, it's going to be 80 degrees this weekend. So just get through today, which keep it tuned to KMOX for the weather, because as you just heard, we may have rain again just in time for a game tonight. Charlie Brennan is joining us here in Studio B.
Good morning, Debbie.
Also, Amy Marks-Kors.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Brad Young with Harris Dell Fisher and Young.
Great to see you, as always.
How does it feel outside? Is it really humid or
not
pretty
bad?
Nice?
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
I think because the temperature's dropped,
yes.
The humidity doesn't feel
for August, I'm not complaining. All right. Well, some people are complaining. There was another announcement yesterday by the Trump administration about what to do with families, men, women, and children who are coming to the U.S. border. And the is he the interim Secretary of Homeland Security? He's not officially the Secretary of Homeland Security. Was talking about what they are going to do with these families. They're talking about building new facilities that would be more, they said, dorm-like, because, of course, the pictures of people caged in these tight quarters is not going over well. They're going to try and keep them together, but then the kicker there is better facilities that are going to be built, Charlie, but the ability to hold them indefinitely.
Yeah, that's the big thing here, because yesterday the Trump administration said that it wants to change the so-called Flores Amendment, which really started during the Reagan administration. People started thinking, what are we going to do with people who come across the border illegally and they have children? So in 1997, this Flores Agreement was set up, and it said you can't keep the kids for more than 20 days. And that sounds kind of good. The kids can't be incarcerated for 20 days. Who wants that? But what it said to people who are thinking about crossing the border, just bring kids with you, your children or others, and guess what? You'll then be able to go into the community, could be any of the 50 states, really, probably actually the 48 continental ones, and your case will be adjudicated in due time. Well, due time turns out to be 5 years. So these immigrants come here with children. Children can't stay in the housing or whatever detention center they have for more than 3 weeks, and then they live in the United States for could be 5 or 6 years before their case gets to court. And so the Trump administration has said, we don't like this. We want to try and deter people from coming across. The other side, of course, is what are you going to do with kids? Are kids going to go to school? Yesterday, the Trump administration said, yeah, in three of our facilities, we do have schools. We have kitchens. We have just about everything a family would need. But the space is limited when in May of this year, you had 100,000 people alone coming across the border without documents.
Brad, any thoughts?
Yeah, legally, the issue becomes this. The Flores Amendment from 1997 has been challenged multiple times by multiple administrations. Most notably, the Obama administration challenged the Flores Amendment and said, we want to keep and have detention of these people longer. We don't want to have to do what's called catch and release. So even under the Obama administration, they challenged this Flores Amendment and was prevented from doing so. So the hurdle that the Trump administration is going to have to overcome is there is already court precedent. There's legal precedent for the enforceability of the Flores Amendment. And at this point, there's a real question as to whether or not they could successfully detain indefinitely in light of that court precedent.
Now, I'm confused at a certain point. Do they have to go to court to challenge this, or it sounded like they were just going to do it?
No, the Trump administration would just do it. But the problem is then probably the ACLU or some other like-minded legal organization would file a challenge to that and get a judge to enter a temporary restraining order preventing the Trump administration from implementing this plan, and then it would go into litigation. So that would be the process through which this is challenged.
So it could be that the Trump administration knows that they're not going to win in court, but they want to kind of put their stake in the ground, say this is our position before 2020, so that all the people who voted for Donald Trump who really like this, you know, they do not like people coming across the border illegally, they'll say, yeah, he's our man. And then all the Democratic candidates will blast it, saying, hey, you can't keep kids for 20 days, let them into the country. And that'll separate the president from his opponents.
Exactly. But then there's also one additional political consideration, Charlie, and that is after the courts strike it down, at that point, then, the president has a political edge, a wedge issue to say, see, I'm trying to fix our immigration system, but these darn judges that are being appointed in the past have prevented us from doing that. That's why we need judicial reform.
Yeah, and it's such a difficult issue because when you're looking at this, we want a clean-cut moral right-wrong moral binary, as we call it. And I just don't think that exists because you had the Flores Agreement, then you had under the Obama administration catch and release, which made it relatively easy for people to game the system. And you've seen an uptick in fraudulent family units, as they're calling it. I know in one small section of the border in Arizona, they had 450 fraudulent family units cross the border. People who had crossed multiple times before had been deported and then were able to grab kids that were not their own and cross the border in order to just get into the country. Well over 3,100 fraudulent documents from migrants, many including children, ages, and relationships, have been captured in the past year alone. Something needs to be done so that kids are not pawns in this whole debacle. And I'm not quite sure what the best answer is. Hopefully, you know, if you do think, okay, if I cross the border with kids that aren't my own, it's not going to do me any good. Hopefully that is some sort of deterrent for this, because it's human trafficking. That's what it is.
Exactly.
And if you can create some kind of deterrent for human trafficking, that's the key.
Sounds like challenging the Flores Amendment legally is not going to happen anytime soon, but also building these huge facilities that they're talking about is not going to happen before the 2020 election either. So we are going to have some lighter topics, sports related, when we return. We have to check traffic and weather together, and we'll do that next on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:42, round two of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Markscores, Brad Young, and Charlie Brennan. The big announcement was yesterday with the XFL. We were all wondering, what's our name going to be, and what's the logo going to look like? So we're the St. Louis Battlehawks. And we did have a Twitter poll this morning just asking people what they thought of the name and the logo. And it looks like Hate the Name, Love the Logo has pulled ahead at 37%. 31% say they hate the name and hate the logo, and 30% say they love the name and love the logo. So, Brad Young, we'll start with you. Battle Hawks. What do you can you see a whole arena full of St. Louisans chanting "Go Hawks"?
Not really, but you know, the question comes to my mind: does someone still own the trade name for the Purple Stallions? I mean, apparently, was that not an option here for the XFL? You know, it's okay, but it's rather generic. I think at least folks in St. Louis want the name to have some relationship with the city at the current time, and of course, Battle Hawks doesn't have a relationship to anything. So I'm not sure how effective it will be, but I think St. Louis is ready maybe to watch some football, so I don't know that the name is going to make a difference.
You know, we did have a connection because the Hawks played here in the NBA till the 60s.
That's
so
very true.
Now these
That's
are Battle Hawks. True. But let me ask you this. If there had never been the name Cardinal, okay, so wipe that out through either in the football years or the baseball years, we had never used Cardinal. But then the XFL team comes to St. Louis and they say, we're going to name them the Cardinals. I think they'd be laughed out of town.
It would never work.
Yeah.
It would never work. It would never work.
Like
it would never work.
Like the Sparrows. Everyone would be like, what? your common grace.
The Purple Stockings.
The Purple Stockings.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the Battle Hawks, I'm split here between, the connotation, or at least what it hints to me at. on one side, they have the Battle Hawks, and I think of the Chicken Hawk, Foghorn Leghorn, like, I'll say. Like,
I picture, like, Chicken Hawk, too.
Yeah, I thought of a Chicken Hawk. And also, the old pejorative, the old battle axe, like, oh, that old battle axe. That's what I'm also thinking of. So I'm stuck between two old-fashioned visions, one being Foghorn Leghorn, and the other one is, I don't know, the Honeymooners, and you have... You know, oh, the old battle axe at home in the kitchen.
What is a battle hawk? Is it a bird?
I don't know. I think it's just it's a created name.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Very well.
It's the opposite of the Amnesty International hawk is the battle hawk.
Ah, got it. What about the logo? The logo I did not realize until Tom Ackerman pointed it out this morning that if you turn it upside down, you can see the STL.
Oh,
in it.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. Like the arrow in FedEx.
And if you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Paul is dead.
We're old.
All right. For those of us who don't really remember the first incarnation of XFL, which in 2001 had one season and then folded, Brad Young was regaling us with all kinds of details during the commercial break.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Remind us, Brad.
Well, the initial design of the first iteration of the XFL was supposed to be extreme football. So, you know, the cheerleaders had lingerie, and it was modeled after the worldwide wrestling, and Vince McMahon owned it. And so there was supposed to be all this drama, and the football players were dating the cheerleaders, and the cheerleaders were so it was like the first iteration of the Big House. What's that show where Big Brother, where they're all in the same house together. I mean, that's what it was supposed to be, and yet it missed its mark terribly.
So I guess it's not going to be like that this time around. It's going to focus more on the sport.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's focus on the Cardinals game last night because there was a lot of lightning last night, and some Cardinal fans are upset about how the Cards Brewers game ended up. I didn't realize that it was the first rain shortened game in the history of Busch Stadium 3. The delay was 1 hour and 6 minutes, and the umpires called the game at 10:46, which means the Brewers won, and fans think that the umps should have waited a little longer to call that game. Anyone have any thoughts?
I feel like I've seen much longer rain delays, and rain delays that go later into the evening, and since you are in the middle of a pennant race, and the Cardinals, every single game counts at this point, I would have waited a little bit longer.
But weren't we hearing all day long on KMOX we were getting 2 to 4 inches? So you're just assuming it's going to be, you know, flood-like conditions all night long. And the lightning last night was pretty extraordinary. It was illuminating the sky as if it was noon. There's so much lightning out there, this whole sky would get white, and I think the lightning might have been as big a concern as the rain.
Also, they were looking at the forecast. As I was listening to the game on Camo X, they were talking about the forecast was going to be several more hours of rain. So I think they called it not based upon the rain up to that point, but what was expected over the next couple of hours. And listen, if we just have one rain-shortened game every 13 years at Busch Stadium, I'm fine with that.
There's no need to leave until someone gets struck.
And then call a lawyer.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break because when we come back with round 3 of OT, we're going to hopefully have time to talk scooters and Rambo on the way. It's 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young, Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks-Kors. Maybe you guys can enlighten me on this next topic, because we have this story about what's happening, but not the why. The city of St. Louis is setting a 10-mile-per-hour limit for Limebird and spin scooters within Forest Park. They say they don't want to cause issues on the shared-use bike paths around the park, but it seems to me that maybe they should do it on city streets instead of... It seems like you should be able to open the Lime scooter up inside a park, Charlie. What do you think?
If they're on the trail, should they be on the trail? Seems to me
maybe
those,
they should be on the roads.
Yeah, I think they should be on the roads. There's already enough confusion and... a lot of people are upset at each other on those paths, you know, because people say the runners should be on the soft surface and the wheels should be on the asphalt, but people don't want to get gravel in their shoes, and so they run on the asphalt. And already, you know, there are some tense moments between pedestrians and bicyclists in Forest Park. Now with the scooter going more than 10 miles an hour, you know what? Scott Ogilvie, former alderman who's in charge of this now, He rides a bike a lot. I think he knows what he's talking about. I would limit the scooter. I would kick the scooters off the paths and tell them to go in the streets, and I would limit them to 10 miles an hour.
You know who I would kick off the paths before I've kicked the scooters? Because Forest Park is like home base for me. I love that park, and I run both the paved trails and the gravel trail, you know, for different reasons. The scooters I haven't had issues with. It's usually they're always riding single file. In that sense, they're incredibly courteous. They're always riding single file. They don't block the path. I have a bigger issue with the cyclists, and not people just on bikes, but actual road cyclists who are clipped in their bikes, and they are on road bikes, and they're on the path. Those bikes can go really fast. On the roads, they can go upwards of 50 miles an hour, but I've had those bikes zoom by me at 30 miles an hour down the Skinker Hill, and those bikes should be on the roads.
You know,
they're called
road bikes. And they're thinking in their mind as they go past you that you should be on the gravel.
Now, but there's a difference between a bike and a road bike, though. You know, if you're a family on bikes, you know, on their hybrid bike, and you're just
pedaling along.
Yeah, that's fine for the bike path. But a road bike is a different beast altogether.
Mm. But getting back to the actual point, Debbie.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm reeling it in.
I'm just reeling it in. But when you talk about these scooters and putting a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit, the question becomes, is this going to be imposed on Bird and Lyft scooters? In other words, do they have to put governors on the scooters to limit it to 10 miles an hour?
Apparently, once the GPS knows that it's in the park, I guess there is going to be some kind of a governor on that.
Because listen, if there's no governor and it's just up to the enforcement, I mean, if you look at all the scooter riders, we see how well it's enforced with regard to the helmet rules. There's no enforcement.
The purveyor of the bikes is... Scooters is going to control that.
Quick note how not fast 10 miles an hour is. When I run with my buddy Jackie, Jackie's marathon pace is 5:45. So a 6-minute mile is 10 miles an hour. So Jackie is running a marathon pace around Forest Park faster than these scooters can go. And when I do a workout, it's faster than 10 miles an hour. So if you're on a scooter, there'll be runners passing you.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Just get off your scooter and run with it.
I don't think
too many people are running 10 miles an hour.
No, but they're there. I mean, there's Big River Running. They've got their group. Go St. Louis has their group. I don't know. If I'm on a scooter, I'd be like, go faster.
Well, I would put the scooters on the road. Get them off the path.
Yeah, keep them on the roads and then let them go faster, I say. All right. We have Charlie and Amy up after the news at the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.